Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and glad to have everyone back for this section of ScaryCast. This is Dr. John with you, and we have a couple of very, very special guests. First of all, they're both from the Harlan, Kentucky area, and we have Jennifer. First of all, Jennifer McDaniels. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi,
how are you doing? Great. Glad to have us, for sure. Now, you had spoken with me, and you've got a wonderful event that you're planning along with our other guest, Tony Filosi, who we'll introduce in just a second. Tell us a little bit about the event, where it's going to be, when it's going to be, and what we can expect.
Well, here in Harlan County, Kentucky, it's a huge year for us because all throughout the year we're celebrating our bicentennial. Harlan County turns 200 years this year, and Tony can definitely give more information about this, because he works closely with our judge executive, Dan Mosley. And his office is planning just a lot of cool stuff, educational, for entertainment purposes as well. It's just going to be a huge celebration this year because we're 200 years old here in Harlan County, Kentucky. And we're a place that just has the most interesting history, the most interesting people. And it's definitely worth something to celebrate about. But one of the events that we are working on is a partnership with the Harlan County Arts Council, which I've helped with for about 4 to 5 years, and county government, and that's why we got Tony on board. And he's doing a wonderful job helping us with it and facilitating it. And Harlan is known a lot for its coal history. We're coal communities. We're built on coal. But what a lot of people don't realize either is that there was a history before coal. And this event that we're planning kind of taps into that a little bit. And we're calling it Wild Pine Mountain because the Pine Mountain Range runs through Harlan County. And a lot of our more primitive history, ancient history, lies with Pine Mountain, from our Native Americans to our frontiersmen to people who lived in the mountains, our mountain people who survived by living off the land. So this lecture series and event is going to touch on that, Wild Pine Mountain, our history before coal. Definitely educational, and I can touch on some of the lectures that's going to be taking place that day, but we also want it to be a little bit on the intriguing side, too. So that's why we're going to have a little bit of Bigfoot, some discussions about the race of giants that researchers have said were here, just peculiar
mountain mysteries.
Yes, peculiar mountain mysteries, unexplained phenomena here in the hills. That's going to go right along with the educational component of it, just to not only make it educational, but to make it fun and interesting. But Tony can get into more of the county's involvement in this, because it's taking place at a county facility, and we wanted to talk about that.
So, yes, Dr. John, what we're having with that is the at the first ranger station built in the state of Kentucky, bordering the first state forest in the state of Kentucky. It's Continya. It's the Continya State Forest, and that the location in and of itself has a lot of history with Harlan County. You had a lot of ranger families that stayed there that have tons of stories to tell. You have actually one of the people that worked with the rangers probably back in the 60s, and I don't want to get too off track with the historical part, is there was some giant skeletons found, but we'll talk about that a little later. And I've interviewed three eyewitnesses that have actually viewed pieces of these skeletons. So we'll be talking a little bit about that, but what we really want to tout is the resilience of the people. The people here are some of the hardest working most resilient folks anywhere in the world, because we've actually, you know, ever since coal came in, and, you know, I'm not knocking coal. A lot of us have made livings off coal, but whenever you get into the real history of coal, you get into coal camps and things like that, and then life in the coal camps wasn't that great. And these people had to be really, really strong and really tough and dedicated to support their families. So we are not only celebrating events that happened in Harlan County, but we really want to celebrate the people of Harlan County.
Absolutely. And by the way, Tony, before you go any farther, I want to introduce you. You are Tony Filosi. You're a local historian, researcher, filmmaker, and you're a paranormal investigator. I believe you're also an award-winning Appalachian journalist, photographer, and we are pleased to have you here. First of all, thanks for being on ScaryCast with us today.
Hey, he's stealing my thunder.
No, I'm an amateur in all of those categories.
Well, your reputation precedes you, Tony, and we're glad to have you here. And you just spoke about one of my favorite topics, which are the Giants, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I think the most important thing that I want people to know is give us the date, the time range of these talks, and how do they find more information? That's very important. And also tickets, how do they buy those and where do they buy those? Is it online? So if you folks would fill us in on that, then we're going to get to the fun stuff. Not that this isn't the fun part, but the Giants, that's really something I enjoy talking about. So
absolutely.
How do we find
I'll
out what information we get tickets? Jennifer?
Right, I'll let Jennifer handle that because she's actually coordinating the event. We're offering logistics and that type of help, but she's actually ramrodding as far as pulling the event together, getting the speakers together, so I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
It will be taking place on May the 4th. So may the 4th be with you.
Get it. May the 4th.
Well, it'll be with me, I'll tell you that. I believe I'm going to be up there talking.
Yes, you are. Looking forward to that as well. But it's going to be on Saturday, May the 4th. It's going to be pretty much all day long. We're kind of billing this as an intimate gathering,
yes.
Aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, it's no big, huge con or event. It's just a intimate gathering at a historical structure here in Harlan County where people can come, and Tony will be available since he works with the county to give tours of the Ranger Station.
Absolutely. Anything else they want to see.
And it's totally free because it's an educational endeavor. There's no charge to come, totally free. So we're in the process this week of confirming all the lecturers and their time. We have a Facebook page that's up now, an event page. So you can log on to Facebook and then just search Wild Pine Mountain. But this week we'll have a website up too as the speakers and all the details get confirmed. We want locals definitely to come, but we want out-of-towners to come as well because, you know, we've got interesting stories to share here. Throughout the day,
absolutely.
There'll be lectures on the natural history of the Pine Mountain Range, the ancient Appalachian Mountains, peculiar happenings that's taken place in these hills.
Are you doing the Melungeons again?
We're doing Native Americans.
And blue people?
No, hadn't thought about that.
Oh, those are real interesting subjects that she's done before. So we'll try to talk her into doing that.
Maybe.
Now, you know, it's really interesting.
We're also going to have, Native American ancestry, the race of giants, flora and fauna, wildlife, frontier life, living off the land before there was really civilization. Appalachian Anomaly. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Do I get a cookie?
Yes. With chocolate chip.
I believe you're coming to talk about strange lights, right? In the sky, over the hills, over the mountains.
Absolutely.
We've got a local lady who has done extensive research on the comeback of the panther. and she's going to talk about her research and her writings and her oral histories, talking to people who say, yeah, these panthers do exist.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Really?
Yeah. Sure have. Back in the 80s, I seen the black one and a dun-colored one.
That is...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're here. Our state officials have you to believe, you know, in wildlife conservation, that they're not here.
Right. Oh, they'll tell you that. They'll say they escaped from a zoo. Well, the nearest zoo's like 150 miles away, which, I mean, a panther could travel, but why would it travel here? There's been there's been panthers here since there's been a Harlan County, just not as many, you know, up until probably the 80s. The real comeback started in the 80s, whenever the sightings started coming in. I've seen them. A lot of my friends have seen them. There's game cams that caught the photographs of them. So they're definitely here.
And Bigfoot. We're throwing in Bigfoot because people just love that stuff. And it's definitely a part of the more mysterious side of our wilderness here.
The mountain mysteries.
So... we've got people that's involved from an educational component, from our local community college, from Pine Mountain Settlement School, which is an environmental education outlet here in the hills. State Nature Land Preserves are going to come. We've got a wonderful, interesting guy who just recently got a doctorate in history from Cumberland Gap National Historic Park, Lucas Wilder. He's going to come and talk about a bunch of things.
Lucas is A1.
Yeah.
He's great.
Not only is he well-versed in his material, he's just an interesting and
very
enjoyable speaker.
Yes.
People love him. But just to throw in the cool stuff, the fun stuff, we've got you coming, so thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Matthew Delft, who is an extensive Bigfoot researcher in this area, and really excited that the Ohio Night Stalkers have agreed to come. They're Yankees.
That's okay.
Those guys are great.
They really are.
Similar
to ours, we're still dealing with the Cumberland Mountains, aren't we?
Yes.
Up there in southern Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got that Appalachian chain of mountains goes up there.
So they're going to talk about their research, and more specifically, an experience they had that was featured on a show called Terror in the Woods. So we're really pumped and excited about that. So we want it to be educational first and foremost, but we also want it to be fun and interesting.
Exactly. I wanted to say this.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer. What we'll do is we'll commit on Scarycast, which is the show you're on right now, and also a podcast that we have called Bigfoot and Company that Matthew Delft and I host. We will certainly put up a graphic and a link to your website so that all of our viewers can go find out about it. And, you know, I think certainly a lot of them will be interested, number one. And number two, since you're going to have the Ohio Night Stalkers, it's always been my intent to have them on the show. So what we can do is we can have them on Bigfoot and Company a week or two before your event. And
that would be wonderful. I'm sure they'd be all about that. Now, one of the team members, Mike Feltner, he's got Harlan County ties. He's originally from the...
Really?
Well, I don't want to lie. So it's either his father or his family is from Harlan, or he himself is from Harlan, but he definitely has Harlan ties, and he's looking forward to coming back here and spending like a weekend, and I can't wait to introduce him to Tony, because Tony knows all about our history around here, and just get him reacquainted with where he's from. So he's looking forward to it because he has some personal ties to the area.
That's always fun. I've had that happen when I run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. There's a wonderful paranormal group, and it turns out that they're all from Kingsport, Tennessee, so they were excited about coming to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference just so that they could bring in some of their family and friends and try to expand their footprint from Asheville. So, yeah, it's great when you have folks that have done well and they come back home. So, I mean, I think that's wonderful. And I tell you what, we're all looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to getting up there and being with you folks and having a good time, and the discussions that we'll have, they're going to be a lot of fun. So you can certainly count on Scarycast and Bigfoot and Company to support this wonderful, wonderful event that you're having. And we'll link to your Facebook page and to your website. And I'll just send people to Scary Cast or Bigfoot and Company, and they can go right over to your page and see that. So now I got to ask this. Whose idea was this originally? Because this is such a unique and smart idea. Where was the birthplace of this idea?
Jennifer came up with the she'd thrown out the idea of having a couple of events at the Ranger Station, and we thought it was just a really great idea. So we told her to run with it and go ahead and start lining it up, and she did. And so we're going to do we're going to give her the venue and logistics, but she has done a great job pulling this together.
I serve on the Bicentennial Committee. Our local judge executive, who I mentioned before, Dan Mosley, who's heading this up, formed a bicentennial, an unofficial bicentennial committee. I also serve on the local Harlan County Historical Network organization, and so these two entities have been planning events to commemorate Harlan County being 200 years old. But we were having a meeting one night, the Harlan County Historical Network, talking about how Harlan is much more than coal, aren't we, Tony?
Yes, correct.
And our history is just not about coal. We have more of a primitive history. So we thought just a lecture series or some kind of event that just tapped into that would be very interesting. I presented the idea to Tony. Tony has worked really hard over the last 2 years restoring the Putney Ranger Station, which is a historic structure in Harlan. And it's just a... I guess it's just a good combination, isn't it?
Yes.
To bring some awareness to the efforts of restoring this valuable structure and to also disseminate a little bit of community education in the process.
Wow, that's great. Well, now, Tony, I'd like to hear from you just a little bit. You're really a well-known paranormal researcher. I know you're quite a modest gentleman, but Matthew Delf said, "I really want to get to meet this guy because he does great work." So
well,
I'm gonna, like I said, Dr. John,
I'm just an amateur at all of it, but I really, it's a passion for me.
I understand exactly. That's why we have Scary Cast, and that's why we have Bigfoot and Company, because I love this stuff. When I grew up, people said, "You're weird. You like ghosts and you like Bigfoot and UFOs." And, I would look at him and I would say, I do. And we all like different things, but this is what I like. And I guess you get to the point in life, you can do what you really love and what you have a passion for. So you're a paranormal researcher, and tell us a little bit about your experience. How did you actually get into doing your first paranormal research activity, and let's go from there, okay?
Okay. Well, I've always had an interest in the paranormal, even from a young child. I played sports and things, but I also had a real interest in Greek, Roman, Egyptian mythology, UFOs. One of the first books I got from like a book club in school was Eric von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods. And it kind of grew from there. And, in my adult years, whenever, I didn't know that there was equipment that you could that you could go out and investigate with. So whenever Ghost Hunters came out, I started seeing the equipment. I said, "Well, I can do that." I said, "I love this stuff." So I started buying up equipment. We have tons of locations here in Harlan County that are active they're active. I mean, so we have some that are absolutely off the charts at certain times of the year. So that's how we got our start, and then we kind of branched out from there into my partner, Thomas Markham. I belong to the Crypto Crew now, which is a great Bigfoot research organization, and he does and that's how I got into film with Thomas. And we started putting out a docuseries on Amazon Prime called The Crypto Files Presents. So, check out some of our stuff on Amazon Prime. Shameless plug, shameless plug.
They do good stuff. They really do.
Wow, that's great. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that, and how can we go find that? What would we search for?
You can search either Thomas Markham or Tony Filosi. We should have one coming out. We're uploading it now, and it should be out in the next couple of days. It's the Mysterious Monroe House. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Monroe House in Hartford, Indiana. But we caught a lot of crazy evidence at the Monroe House. And then we have some titles out like the Benham Theater, which we caught a lot of stuff there. I mean, we put out some fairly good work. So that's how you can find us on Amazon Prime, is either research Thomas Markham or Tony Filosi, or look at some of our earlier titles, like I said, the Benham Theater, Spectres of the Stage. We have the Manzel Shepherd story, so you'll be able to find them from there.
And I think what makes them really unique is it's not just paranormal, which is cool in and of itself, but they throw in the historical component as well.
Right.
They preserve and promote history.
Yes.
So it's educational.
Right.
Cool, too.
We try to do at least 30-40% history, give the backstory of the location, and get into some of our theories on, you know, why we're so active in Harlan County. We are sitting in places where you have on the USGS maps, you can go in and look at the magnetic anomaly maps. I don't know if you've ever done that before. And we found a correlation.
Are you talking about the ley lines?
No. No, this will be magnetic anomalies, and it'll be like hot spots. You'll do your layers, and then you'll see like the hot spots in your area. So that's not really a trick. It's just a thing I learned after you know doing years of research that there's a correlation between the magnetic anomalies, high magnetic fields, and paranormal and or even Bigfoot activity and UFO also. Entities, ghosts or entities, whatever you want to call them, are energy beings. They're nothing more, nothing less. So, if you're an energy being, if you can get into a place that has, you know, high energy fields, you're going to just be like us. If we were hungry, we're going to go to Wendy's or Rack's or wherever we smell, you know, we know we can get nourished. So,
Do you have racks roast beef up there? Oh my goodness, I can't wait to come. That's one of my favorite places, and we don't have any down here in the Carolinas anymore.
Have it.
Oh,
we have
yeah.
it.
Well,
oh,
sir,
boy,
we'll give
I'm
you
coming.
Some bagfuls of racks roast beef when you come.
We sure will.
Oh, that's
but,
awesome. I'm sorry
also,
for kidding me, but gosh, yeah.
Also, what I think makes Harlan County and East Kentucky hotspots is you have a lot of underground rivers here. You have a lot of water because we're the headwaters of the Cumberland River, and you have
mm-hmm.
your geology plays a lot into this also, because you'll have, you know, sandstone, and you'll have quartz limestone and things like that. So sandstone is silica, so it's a conductor, and then, you know, you have your quartz and things which generates its own electrical charge. So basically you're sitting at certain places, you're sitting on a big battery, and we've caught EVPs in the middle of nowhere. I mean, in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, somebody may have lived there 100 years ago or something. But we feel that entities are drawn to these places because of the energy. And also, again, I believe there's a correlation for some whatever reason between these hot spots and Bigfoot activity and paranormal activity and possible UFO activity.
And that what Tony just mentioned is going to be touched on and really talked about in the lecture series. With our lectures on the energy of ancient Appalachia, you know, how the Appalachian Mountains were formed, you were talking about the ancient water source or river. And
underground rivers.
So that'll kind of be like a good segue from natural history into the unexplained.
And you have an unbelievable amount of cave systems also here. So I don't know if you're into reptilians or not, but, you know, anything's possible, right?
Well, now, Tony, I run the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival, so I have some very good friends, if you know what I mean, that are the lizard community. And, you know, we've got a fella, his name is Jackson Samael. He's going to be back on. We talked a little bit about, it was last week, we talked just a little bit about the fact that there are lizard men. These entities seem to be cross-cultural. They seem to be all over the world. And Jackson said something to me, and I think, Tony, I think you'll appreciate this statement. He said, mate, I can't understand. We know about the Bunyip, the lizard man of Australia. You folks in America seem to want to ignore the fact that you have these cryptids out there. You want to say that they're figments of people's imagination when there are people just like you, John, that know they're real. You're out there researching them. And down here in Australia, we don't ignore them. We know that just because we haven't caught a picture of them, that they're there. There's so many stories. And I really liked his candidness about that. That here in America, we tend to not acknowledge, or let's say it is not politically correct, to acknowledge that we have certain things that, they really do go wrong tonight.
I think the Smithsonian, any time that there's been discoveries that didn't fit into what they wanted to, put their cookie-cutter history on, it was either, ignored or destroyed, like the bones of the giants. You know, I mean, the Native Americans talked about wars with giants. There was whenever that the pioneers came through, it wasn't unusual for them to unearth skeletons of giants in the in the stone mounds, and they worked copper and I'm not sure they worked steel or anything, but they were real good with as far as metallurgically, they worked a lot of different things. They also had an advanced understanding of astrology, because if you look at the serpent mounds and things in Ohio, you can see a lot of similarities there between that. You know, not necessarily the mounds are not near as tall as what pyramids in South America are, but it's still kind of the same premise, a little bit more primitive, but it's very, very apparent that it's set up for celestial events. You know, so that they can't tell.
Okay.
I mean, they can't really convince me otherwise, because where did it come from? I know the Cherokees didn't have that type or knowledge, and the Sioux and all the Plains tribes and things like that. But there were huge cities, huge mound cities in ancient America, like in St. Louis and Cincinnati and all over the place. That basically, whenever you had Western expansion, that they were just torn down. The artifacts taken, some of them used for landfills for like St. Louis and Cincinnati. So there's a lot that, if people will open their minds to the real history of North America, that we could all benefit from that.
Well, Tony, I don't think it's a matter of opening our minds. I think it's a matter of looking at the facts. I've got a very good friend, Dr. Aaron Judkins, who has been around the world. In fact, I hadn't been able to get in touch with him for 3 months. He's been out on a dig, and he specializes in going where things like this happen. Aaron is the fellow that produced and starred in the movie Finding Noah. He took a crew up to the top of Mount Ararat in Turkey. Oh, my goodness, the things that happened up there, from the terrorists capturing half of his crew and everything. But they went out to explore this, and he's been to Peru. He's got a bunch of great stories. He's been on ScaryCast, or actually the old Comic-Con Star Show, and he's coming mm-hmm. back on here. He's got a brand new movie. What a super guy, and I hope that I can hook the two of you up. Because and
that'd
like,
be great.
I'm very interested in this, and I'll go ahead and share with you something that I have found, and this is going to be a little – this is something that I would like for you and I to talk about on another ScaryCast episode. I found out that in England there is a town called Glastonbury,
mm-hmm.
and they had an abbey that was burned down. Well, Glastonbury, it turns out, is the birthplace of what's – or where the Colburn Bible, which is a group of texts from the Celts, was kept. And not only that, but they go out on the grounds of the Glastonbury Abbey, and they dig down, and they find the tomb, or well, the burial place of a 9.5 foot tall giant,
absolutely.
Which was King Arthur. King Arthur. Now, I spoke to a friend of mine who's a surgeon, And we talked. I asked him. I said, you know, you got some guy that's 9.5 feet tall. I said, that's not a human. He said, not as we know it. Now we were talking about, because I have a good friend, Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling. We were talking about. We always talk about Andre the Giant, and Andre was 7 feet 5 inches tall. He was a human that had a hormone issue that grew to almost 7.5 feet tall. But when you're talking about 9.5 feet tall, that is not a growth hormone anomaly for a human being. And so it turns out that King Arthur, we feel, and I'm doing some research on this, and I'm working with Marshall Masters, who has done a lot of research on this, as well as Planet X. We believe that King Arthur very well might have been one of these giants, might have been, now don't laugh, Tony, might have been one of the Nephilim. So,
yes. Now the Nephilim, that's very possible.
And then we get you talking about these giants. So, and again, you've hit me in the heart and soul of what I like to research. So, in terms of the giants that you say have been found in the area, how tall were they, and can you just fill us in a little bit more about what you found?
Well, here's the odd thing. Okay, we'll talk about the giants, and we'll talk about the little people too.
Oh, that's another show. Yeah.
So the giants, I've interviewed three people that have seen parts of the skeletons that they're, you know, very reputable people. One's passed recently, a couple years ago. The other two don't know each other, to my knowledge. And the jawbone of one of them's father was like 6'2", 6'3", was a big, big fella. And when he put the jawbone up to his face, this happened when she was a little girl, she said it looked like he put on a full-face motorcycle helmet, and Daddy was a big man. And so, and these were found here in Harlan County now. And there's another one that saw a skull, and he said it was like a good-sized pumpkin, not a huge pumpkin, but just 3 or 4 times bigger than a human, regular human skull. He said much, much larger. Now, the common denominator is they were found in the same mountain range. Now, let's go back to the early 1960s. In Bell County, Kentucky, which borders Harlan County, there were skeletons found. These folks would have been 5 to 6 feet tall. Their femurs were 3 to 4 times larger than a man. So, and they never could find the skulls. They don't know whether there was a burial ground up above them, and they rolled down the river. How the guy found them was he was squirrel hunting, and he got into place. He was going before daylight. He sat down on what he thought was a blowdown, you know, just a tangle of branches, roots and branches. When it got daylight, he was sitting in on a pile of skeletons. He told Dr. Golden, which was he practiced medicine in Pineville, about the discovery. Well, Dr. Golden had him go back and get the skeletons. They get the skeletons, assemble them, like almost four complete skeletons, but less the skulls. Dr. Golden wanted the Smithsonian to check them out. So they do, and he never gets the skeletons back. And this is very, very well documented case. So, I mean, this isn't just a lore, mountain lore or an old wives' tale. This happened. That happened on the other end of the mountain range where the giant skeletons were found. So how do we explain all that?
Well, you and I can't explain it. Yes, Jennifer? I'm sorry. Yeah, Jennifer, you were going to say something?
I just interjected there. I'm sorry. I said I told you he was interesting.
So, absolutely.
But you know, I think they're probably from two different time frames, probably. But without the, and I'm on the trail of the skull, the last skull that was seen, which he was seen in the 60s, early 70s. And the gentleman that found the skull, I'm trying to get his children to talk. He found a lot of artifacts. So I'm trying to track them down, which actually I have tracked them down, and kind of having people that know them talk to them about, hey, you know, would you sit down and talk to me and tell me what your dad told you? And hopefully there's a large skull in somebody's outbuilding, you know, that I can get my hands on. So
absolutely.
That's where we're at with the research on the giants. And I can take you pretty close to where the smaller skeletons were found. It's rough terrain, but, you know, I'm really going to, you know, here in the next, this year, really start pushing and trying to do a, you know, a lot of, put a lot of footwork, you know, into this and try to track it down.
Wow. Let me ask you this. And I'm not afraid to ask this right here on the show. I'm going to be up there on Saturday talking about lights in the sky. Do you think on
sure.
Sunday you might take me to some of these spots or maybe introduce me to some of these people? I would love that, and I'd love to share this with my fellow researcher, Dr. Aaron Judkins. So
sure.
You think you could you could hook me up?
Yeah, we'll talk to them. We'll talk to them. We'll make it a joint venture.
That's great. I would love to do that because this is very important to me for several reasons. One is I'm talking with Marshall Masters, who is the curator of the Colburn Bible, which is that group of texts from the Celts. And we want to go to Glastonbury Abbey to what's left there. There is some evidence there that is unbelievable. So we're trying to get all this put together, and I think the contact with Harlan, because now Aaron Judkins, he went to the Nevada caves where they have the skeletons of
the red-haired giants.
They call them the large people. And again, there you have the Smithsonian. They don't come preserve – well, they do preserve things. They come get things, and that's it.
Right.
So we want to keep – we want to keep this a private endeavor.
Now, was that the cave where they were mining bat guano for gunpowder or something? They found the remains, or is that in California?
No. You're talking about
Lovelock.
And Aaron was able to go there and see some of the things and pictures. Then he was not allowed in. So we're going to have Aaron back on here. And maybe when we do, I want to get him to do a two-part episode on ScaryCast. I'd like to have you on one of them, and we can all talk about this because I think it's very important, not only historically, but just in terms of the imagination of what really could have been going on. As Aaron told me, and I think you might agree once I say this, giants just are not politically correct, and they don't tend to fit in to the history books. People don't like them.
That's part of what I can't figure out is why. What are they hiding that they don't want us to know? You know, why would you not tell people? I mean, it's just, you know, it's not like people are going to run out in the streets. You know, oh my God, we're admitting there were 9 to 12 feet tall race of giants here 25,000 years ago. Well, I mean, how's that going to cause mass panic or anything? So there has to be some underlying issue that they don't want.
It makes no sense. See, Tony, it makes no sense when you have one of the most famous stories of a 9-plus-foot-tall giant in the Bible. And it's called David and Goliath. I mean,
right.
There's nothing
right. There was more than Goliath, because David had – how many stones did David pick up? He picked up 5 stones for Goliath's other 4 brothers.
So the fact is, the stories are there. They're part of our culture. But yet they seem to be inconvenient. So we want to talk about this. And that's why I'm glad I know Aaron. He's just a fine man. He's such a great researcher. And I look forward to having him back. And I'd like to hook the two of you up. I think we can have some very lively and important discussions for folks. So what I want to say, I hate to say this, but we're getting near the end of our part of Scarycast for this evening. And I want to thank you. I'm sorry. I've had a great time talking to you. Let's talk more, and we'll see what all we can do. As my buddy Anthony Dowling of Eno River Media says, let's see what kind of trouble we can cause, because I bet you and I can cause real trouble.
I'd say we can. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this lady. Her name is Sharon Day. She's in Arizona. Have you ever heard of Sharon?
No, I haven't.
Sharon is my go-to on the giant. She is probably the most knowledgeable person out there that I know on giants. So you may want to hit her up on Facebook. But Sharon is absolutely unbelievably talented.
Well, you and I can talk about that here shortly. I think that's great. So number one, Matthew Delph, and I got to tell you, Matthew is a fan of yours. He said, this guy is great. And he was right. So I've enjoyed talking to you here on Scarycast. We got a lot more that we can do, and I'll get up with you very soon. And Jennifer, I would like for you to wrap up this segment of Scarycast and just remind us a little bit about the event. And thank you so much, first of all, for bringing Tony to Scarycast. And thank you for being the person that put this thing together up there. And God, I can't wait to get up there. I'm going to have a blast. So I'm going to turn it over for a minute or so to Jennifer and remind us about this wonderful event.
I'm, you know, personally excited for this too, because, of course, a lot of the subject matter is a personal interest of mine. But being a Harlan Countyan, born and bred, being a Pine Mountain girl myself, who was born and raised on Pine Mountain, I'm just excited to promote our uniqueness to the world, and I think you're going to play a big part of that. So thank you for that. You're our first.
You're welcome.
You're our first official interview, and we're going to use this as a catalyst to start all the promotion. It's a beautiful place here. I can't wait for you to see it. I think you'll fall in love with our beauty, but I think you'll fall really in love with our people.
Yeah. The people here are just unbelievably, they're great. They're just so, like we were talking before, they're so resilient. They're friendly. You can't say enough about them.
And Tony can take you to some cool places once you're here. Again, the event is on May the 4th, Saturday, May the 4th, at the historic Putney Ranger Station. It's going to start at 10 in the morning and last until the evening, because we've got a lot of ground to cover. It's going to be laid back. It's going to be informal, again, like an intimate gathering type feel, like you've just come up the road to the ranger station to look at it.
All right.
To what the county has
that sounds great.
For it. and then just to learn some neat things, to meet some new people, and to discuss some mind-blowing stuff. So that's May the 4th, Saturday. Our Facebook page is up, Wild Pine Mountain. Our website will be up this week with a complete list of special guests and lecturers.
That's great. Well, look, thanks for being here with us today on ScaryCast, and we will talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.